The following broadcast from the Compassion Radio Archives originally aired 1 year ago this month.
On today's Compassion Radio.
It's hard for us as American Christians to grab a hold of this, but the New Testament talks about it being kind of a compliment from God if you're persecuted. Disciples were taken, they were beaten, and it says they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Great. I mean, that just seems so foreign to us. They thought it was a cool thing that they were strong enough in their faith that God trusted them enough to put them in a position of persecution. But that really is the New Testament attitude. And it's the attitude that we see around the world in our brothers and sisters today.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Telling the stories of God's faithful servants and the great God they serve. This is the daily radio journal that puts you front and center on the front lines of faith. What would you do if a friend calls seeking your help? If they had just been assaulted, abused, targeted, simply for being a Christian? We have no doubt you'd run to their aid immediately. But what if that friend was 6,000 miles away? You start looking for help. And that's what today's guest is all about. His organization intercedes in some of the most persecuted places in the world. They do the work that nobody else can for those who have no other remedy. The stories you'll hear today will humble and inspire you, that's for sure. Here's Norm to make introductions.
You know, it's always fun when we have the opportunity to do a repeat interview, and that's what we're doing today. My guest is Todd Nettleton, and Todd is the voice of VOM, Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Todd, it's wonderful to have you back. Our subject matter is a little bit different today.
Yeah, we're talking about persecuted Christians, but we're also talking about a new book that Voice of the Martyrs is coming out with, hopefully to put these stories in front of more people. That's always our hope and our goal is we want more American Christians to know what's happening with our brothers and sisters around the world, to be able to pray for them, to be able to minister to them, to be connected. You know, when the Bible says when one part of the body suffers, we're all supposed to feel that. Well, if we don't even know that the other parts are suffering, how can we possibly feel it? How can we possibly feel their pain? So that's our goal at Voice of the Martyrs. That's my goal every time I do an interview like this. We want to put these stories in front of the American church.
Todd, you know, the word persecution is not a pleasant word, certainly. But really, it's not a downer, is it?
It's not. One of the interesting things, and it's hard for us as American Christians to grab a hold of this, but the New Testament talks about it being kind of a compliment from God if you're persecuted. You know, they were honored to suffer. I think of the verse about disciples were taken, they were beaten, and it says they left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ.
Great.
I mean, that just seems so foreign to us that, wait a minute, they were rejoicing? They thought it was a cool thing that they were strong enough in their faith that God trusted them enough to put them in a position of persecution. But that really is the New Testament attitude. And it's the attitude that we see around the world in our brothers and sisters today. You know, when we go and talk to them, they're not talking about, oh, it was so terrible and all this bad stuff happened to me. They're talking, hey, look what God did through this. I think of a lady just recently, we heard the story from India. She was put in prison because of her Christian activities. She started a Bible study in the prison. And when she was released, the guards actually asked her to come back and keep leading the Bible study. They sent her home from prison. She was released, but they said, hey, no, we've seen the difference that you're making here. Would you come back once a week and keep leading this Bible study? That's the kind of thing we see. It's not a, man, this is terrible. Woe is me. It's look what God is doing through these situations.
Todd is one who's worked with persecuted Christians. And as you know, we do the same. What we find is that they feel honored. And one of the phrases that's so important to them is they share the sufferings of Christ, an identification with Him. And they're honored, as you mentioned, but they share His sufferings. So it's not so much theirs, it's His.
That's so true. And just recently, I interviewed a lady who was persecuted in prison. I won't say the country she was in, but she literally, in the midst of that persecution, she heard the voice of Christ saying, remember, they're persecuting me, not you. This is not against you. They're persecuting me. She talked about how comforting that was to know, A, Jesus is right here with me. Even in this suffering, he's here. And just to be reminded, hey, they're persecuting me. I experienced this first. Now you're experiencing it.
So often, the places where persecution is happening are places where the written word of God, the Bible, is in short supply. Now, we have them stacked up, you know, in our home, and so many of us do. But I sometimes wonder, are we reading the Bible? Are we understanding it? They certainly, as in short supply as the Bible is, they are reading it when they get it.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that amazes me is we'll meet people who are persecuted right after they come to faith. I mean, within a matter of days or weeks. So it's not like they've studied the Bible for years and they went to seminary and got a degree. And it's like they just met Jesus 2 weeks ago, and now their families kicked them out of the house, or now the village is coming against them, and they're standing strong in their faith. Like you say, they love the Word of God, but I think they experience the difference that Christ makes. They don't want to go backwards. You know, I don't want to go back. Even if you beat on me, even if you kick me out, even if you take away my house, I don't want to go back to what I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've met Jesus Christ. I know he's real. So whatever you do to me, I still know he's real. I'm going to put up with it because I still know. And that's one of the things that I have a hard time even grabbing a hold of as somebody who went to Sunday school the Sunday after I was born. I was in Sunday school, been in church all my life. Here are these people who just meet Jesus, and within days, they're enduring things I've never had to endure, and yet they do it with a smile on their face, and they don't give up their faith.
Persecution is normal in the life of the church historically, isn't it?
It is, and it's normal around the world today, except in America. One of our staff was just recently in India, and he had a group of pastors that he was meeting with and sharing, and he said, so have any of you been persecuted? Not a single person raised their hand. And he's like, okay, this is interesting. What's going on here? And so he said, have any of you ever been beaten up? And every single one raised their hand. But they didn't identify that as persecution. They just thought, well, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. That's part of being a pastor. It doesn't seem odd to them or strange to them. And in fact, sometimes, you know, like him, when we come and ask questions about persecution, they're just like, well, what are you talking about? This is the normal Christian life. This is what it means to follow Jesus.
Isn't it strange when we go to places, thinking in particular of northern Iraq? I was there not that long ago. And as usual, I'm thinking to myself as I'm on the plane, on my way, about how I can be of encouragement to them. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? It is always the case that the encouragement comes from them to me. It's a long way to go for encouragement.
It's a long way to go. But when you come back, I experienced the same thing. I remember early on in my time at VOM, I went to China, and we were going to meet this pastor who had been arrested like 13 times in the last year. Like you, I had this idea, okay, well, he's probably really depressed and discouraged. It's good that I'm coming from America to encourage him.
Right.
And the same thing, this guy's excited, he's joyful, he's not discouraged at all. And I come back and think, why don't we have more people like that in our church here in America who want to talk to you about what God is doing and how faithful God is, and they're so excited about serving him. Why do we have to go to northern Iraq to find those people? Why do we have to go to China to find those people? We ought to see those people every Sunday.
Absolutely. Todd, we're holding a beautiful book. Our conversation, I think, is going to revolve around this book because it's filled with stories of Christians who have been suffering persecution. The title, I kind of like this on a couple of levels, and we were laughing about it. I am N. Now, clever man that I am, I said, well, I am Norm. This is a very, very important title. Explain, would you?
It's I am N using the Arabic N, and I see you've got it on your lapel there.
I do.
The noon. That's the symbol that has been painted on the homes of Christians, as you know, in northern Iraq, in the city of Mosul, in other places in Syria. And that's the Islamic State's way of claiming that property. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, well, then we own your house now. You don't own it anymore. Yeah. You can't live here anymore. You've got to leave. It's very much a put down in that context. And the Christians in the Middle East, they don't necessarily think of it as a real positive thing that they're being called this. But I am in the title of the book is we're saying as American Christians, we're going to identify with those brothers and sisters. We're going to stand with them. And at the top of the cover, it says, we will not let our brothers and sisters suffer in silence, meaning when they suffer, we're going to tell the world what's going on. And we will not let them serve alone. We're going to serve with them. We're going to stand with them. And we're going to serve the Lord here. And one of the things that we want to challenge people, and as you read these stories and you talk to Christians in that part of the world, you know some of the stories of what goes on. Right. The natural response as an American Christian is, okay, what would I do in that situation? Mm-hmm. If they came and kicked me out of my house, what would I do? If they captured my spouse, what would I do? And we want you to read these stories and ask that question, because the only way you can honestly answer that question is to spend some time in prayer, mm-hmm. spend some time in the scripture, and say, okay, Lord, I want to be faithful the way these brothers and sisters are faithful. And that can't happen without some spiritual depth. It can't happen without looking at the example of the New Testament believers, without saying to the Lord, okay, I want to forgive the people who are harming me. I don't have that in me, just me. Lord, I'm going to need your help to do that. There's actually six themes in the book, and we pull out stories, but the theme of sacrifice, that's an easy one. We know what they're sacrificing. Courage, forgiveness, and faithfulness and perseverance. The theme that is most surprising to people is the theme of joy. And you talk about these Christians, these are not downtrodden, depressed, discouraged people. They are joyful. They're excited about what God is doing. That's the most surprising thing to an American reader. Wait a minute, they're joyful in that situation? What's going on?
Exactly. Todd, let's take a step back. The Arabic letter N stands for Nazarene.
It does. It stands for Nazarene, which, as I mentioned, is kind of a disparaging way mm-hmm. to say Christian. They use it with the word kafir or unbeliever, the unbelieving Nazarenes. Yeah. I was just in Iraq last month, and we heard that anytime they use the word Nazarene, they also use the word kafir or unbeliever. The two go hand in hand. As you mentioned, Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth, you're a follower of the Nazarene. It's a put down to them, but in reality, it's a badge of honor. We want to be followers of Jesus the Nazarene.
When I wear the letter N, what I'm saying with that N on my lapel is I stand in solidarity with those who are identified with the Nazarene and who are suffering because of that identification. I am proud, not arrogant, but proud to have that identification with Christ. And in this book, the stories in there are tremendously inspirational, convicting perhaps, but maybe even a bit instructional. Through my life, how can I reflect the character of Christ?
One of the stories that's told in the book is the story of a lady named Afruz. I happen to be the one who met Afruz and heard her story. It's one that's personal to me. Afruz was a very good Muslim in Iran. She was very devout, but she didn't experience peace. She never experienced satisfaction. And finally, she prayed one night before she went to bed. She prayed to Allah. Listen, Allah, I've been doing everything that you tell me to do. If this is all there is, if there's no peace in this, if I can't really feel satisfied and feel peaceful, I'm done. So you better show yourself tonight to me. She has a dream. A man in white stands before her in her dream. It's Jesus. And he speaks to Afruz. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
She had never heard those words.
She's never heard those words. She had never had a Bible.
Yeah, okay.
So she has this dream. She wakes up in the morning. She thinks, that was kind of strange. She goes to work, and she's troubled. She's wondering, you know, what is this? And I asked Allah to show up, and then here's Jesus showing up. And one of her coworkers said, what's going on? You look upset today. She said, well, I had this dream, and there was this guy in white, and he told me these words. And her coworker was a Christian. Uh-huh. He pulls out a New Testament. He said, let me show you something. He opens up the New Testament to that verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Afruz is like, wow, that's what he said to me. That day, she became a believer in Christ, who appeared to her in her dream, drove her into the scripture, and she became a believer. Now, that wasn't a popular decision among her family and friends. And in fact, subsequently, her husband also became a believer. The government threatened to take away their child. If they were going to be Christians, they didn't want this child to be raised as a Christian. So they had to flee the country. But that's one of the stories. Another story in here is the story of Shemsa and Susanna. They're two ladies in Turkey, and their husbands were killed, martyred for their faith. Five young men appeared to be seekers. They actually asked questions about the Bible. Oh, yeah, we want to learn more. They set up a meeting at their office. They went in, tied them to chairs, and slit their throats. And so these two women lost their husbands. Between them, they have five children who lost their fathers. And the next day on national television in Turkey, they forgave the men who had killed their husbands. In fact, one of them echoed literally the words of Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. That is amazing to us in an American context, but in a Muslim context, that is absolutely earth-shattering. Because the Muslim context is, if you hit me, well, then I'm going to hit you harder. If you kill one of my children, well, then I'm going to kill two of yours. And so these ladies, literally hours after losing their husbands, to offer forgiveness, and it was covered on national TV in Turkey. So there's millions of people watching this. And they are just flabbergasted. How could they do that? How could they do that? God has used that to further the gospel in that country.
Each day at Compassion Radio, we cover a world of ministry. More than talk, we go and do. And we do everything we do in God's strength and through your generosity.
That's right, Bram. And this month, we're on a recruiting mission, so to speak. We want you to become part of our vision team. If you haven't considered becoming a monthly partner before now, please do. A regular gift of any size is literally our loaves and fishes. Why? Because we know that every time you give, you're praying for us and for God to multiply your gift. We've seen God do that very thing time after time. Now, if you're already a sustaining partner, thank you. You are the backbone of Compassion Radio. If God has blessed you this year, if He's growing your faith, please consider an extra faith-giving gift this year. Even $10 or $20 more a month would have a profound impact on our vision, plans, and outreach in the next 12 months and the amazing stories of faith that we can bring to you. If you can start or continue this year as a Vision Team monthly partner of $25 or more, we'd love to send you a special inspiring gift, a new CD from the group Selah entitled Unbreakable. This powerful new collection is by one of Christian music's most inspiring gospel trios. They have deep mission roots, and it shows in all they do. Again, this is a special gift for new and returning Compassion Radio Vision Team sustaining partners. Just mention when you call, and we'll send it to you in CD or digital format. Your choice. For a one-time love gift of $15 or more, we also have another wonderful premium. It's a Mother's Day-themed devotional booklet. Get one for yourself and one for your mom, or your daughter and daughter-in-law, too. Friends, the time is right, and the field is ripe.
Thank you, friends, for your generous support of this ministry. Call us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the Internet 24/7 at the website we've talked about today, CompassionRadio.com. Thank you for everything you do to help make this ministry and this program possible.
You know, Todd, it's interesting how retaliation in a Muslim context is generally regarded as an obligation.
Yeah.
It's a matter of honor.
Right. Your honor is at stake. If you don't strike back, then where's your honor? It's gone.
You shamed your family.
Yep.
My story after story. How many are there, by the way?
There are about 40 stories in the book. Most of them are modern day stories, but at the end of every section, there is a story from the past, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, others, so that the reader knows by the time they're done, absolutely it's happening today, but there's that link throughout history. It's always cost something to follow Jesus Christ boldly. It's a great book to challenge people. The stories are relatively short. You could use it in your devotions. You could read one a day, and it will challenge you back into the scripture and to ask that question, okay, what would I do? Lord, if I'm going to forgive the way those two ladies in Turkey forgave, I'm going to need your help. So it really drives us back to the feet of the cross.
Todd, I'm wondering, how is it that this book came to be? VOM, you've published many books over a lot of years, but you have a very fine partner in publishing. Tell us about that partnership that you have.
The book is published by David C. Cook, and they have been phenomenal to work with. They have been really behind the project. Even middle of last year, as we began to work through this process and write the stories and get them to them, they have said, this is the most important book we're going to publish next year. And so they have been absolutely behind it. One of the things about David C. Cook, and most people don't know this, they're actually a nonprofit organization. So whatever money they make on publishing, they turn it around and funnel it back into ministry and missions around the world. They want to get the book into as many hands as possible. They recognize that these stories make a difference as we read them. So it's been really just a blessing to work with them.
We're right in the wheelhouse of what Compassion Radio is about, and obviously Voice of the Martyrs. I mean, what could be more descriptive than a name like that? Just briefly, for those who are new to the whole idea of VOM, what is Voice of the Martyrs?
Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry to persecuted Christians, the kind of Christians we've been talking about today. We go literally around the world to meet and hear the stories of those brothers and sisters, and then to help them. In some cases, that's Bibles. In some cases, that's medical care if they're injured by a persecution incident. In some cases, it's a safe house, some place where they can lay low. Maybe their family's out to get them. They can come in, lay low for a while, let things settle down. And then in the United States, our ministry is to tell these stories, to encourage the American church to stand boldly in our faith in Christ, no matter what happens. Our ministry dates back to Pastor Richard Wurmbrand. I'm sure you're familiar with his story. 14 years in prison in communist Romania. When he came out of prison, he wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. He talked about what happened in the prison, but just like so many of the brothers and sisters we meet today, it wasn't look at how terrible things were in the prison. Mm-hmm. It was look at how God worked in the prison. Look at what God did. And let's remember the brothers who are still in those prisons. He shared his story and people around the world responded and said, well, we want to help those people. How do we do that? And Voice of the Martyrs was founded to be the answer to that question, to be a bridge between the church in the free world and the church in hostile and restricted nations. It's available from Amazon, from christianbook.com. Basically, anywhere you can buy books, you'll be able to buy this book. And we're very excited to get this into as many hands as possible.
Almost 300 pages. That's a thick book.
Yeah, it is a good book. And as I mentioned, the stories are divided up into short chunks. So it's not like you have to sit and read all 300 pages at once. Perfect for devotions, for family devotions. Read these to your kids. I think some people think, well, you know, I can't tell my kids about this kind of suffering. Well, actually, you can.
You can. Absolutely.
And you should.
How many countries are represented in the stories that are told in the book?
I don't know the total for the book. I do know we are active in 68 different countries where Christians are persecuted. Some of those countries, we can't share a story because there are so few Christians that if we say in this country X, this Christian was just arrested, then everyone in that country knows, well, there's only a couple hundred Christians here. We can pretty quickly identify who Christian X is.
Well, I'm seeing lots of countries represented here. It's a shame that persecution is a factor in so many countries of the world today, but it's almost a geography lesson in addition to everything else. But what a magnificent thing to have in your home. This is a book that should be worn out.
We would love that. Buy a copy, read it to your family, pass it along to Christian friends. It really is a book that we feel like this time in America, it's a timely book. We don't know what's going to happen here in our country. How can we get ready in case things turn out that we get persecuted? Well, we can get ready by studying up on what our brothers and sisters have already done, how they've been faithful in the midst of persecution. If they can do it, we serve the same God they do. He's just as powerful here as he is there. We can study up on these stories as a way of preparing our own hearts in case we come to the point where we face persecution.
I think it's such an important thing to think about. We wonder, here in the West, and certainly in the USA, what would I do? You ask that question. We don't know what we would do, but my guess is that there's more courage that's built into us than we know, than we can even imagine. And when the time comes, if it comes, we pray that it won't come, perhaps, but let's say it does come. I think we're going to find, many of us, that buried down deep in our souls is not only the Word of God, but the testimony to the Word of God, the truth of the Word, in stories like these.
That's so true. And I think one of the natural responses of an American Christian is, well, I could never do that. You know, I could never stand up in that situation. That would just be too tough for me. And I'm reminded of the story of Hanalei Groenewald, who is a lady doctor, actually was in Afghanistan. Her husband and her two teenage children were killed by the Taliban in an attack on their home. And she made the analogy of a boarding pass. She said, you know, when you're taking a flight, you don't get your boarding pass a month ahead of time or 2 months ahead of time. You get your boarding pass right before you get on the plane. And she said, God gives you the grace you need right before that situation. She said, 2 months before my husband was killed, I wouldn't have been ready. I wouldn't have had the ability to withstand that. But God gave me the grace in that moment, in that time. I think that's a great comfort for me. And
yes,
I think it should be a comfort for all of us here who say, well, I could never do that. If God puts you in that situation, God will give you the grace you need to be able to stand firm.
I think that's so true. I am N. This is must reading. We say that so often, don't we? And I think we mean it when we say it, but I really mean it when I say we need to read these stories. They will inspire, they will strengthen, they will toughen us, and I think they'll prepare us for the day. We don't know when, but inevitably, I believe it's going to come. But they'll prepare us for the day when we'll have to stand up and be counted in a way that perhaps we didn't think we were going to have to. Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I told you I was there not too long ago.
Yeah.
What a neat town.
It is a great place.
Part of the reason is VOM is there. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Again. Thanks so much, Todd.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
A very worthy discussion to start off a new month here on Compassion Radio from our archives that originally aired a year ago this month. Friends, as we wind down for today, this reminder, Compassion Radio is a ministry supported solely by those who receive a blessing from it. So if you've been encouraged today, would you encourage us with your gift of support? It would be so helpful right now. You can reach us by calling toll-free 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online right where you'd expect, CompassionRadio.com. That toll-free number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.